I'll take on anybody, anytime, in a fair test of football trivia, starting with around the year 1967, which is the year that I started being a football fan.
There you go.
Okay?
That's a tough one.
And anything else, I simply do for entertainment. Please, no wagering.
Yeah, and you know, and there are a lot of books out there, too. And you're doing it off the top of your head.
Yeah. Come on. You call it the Bust My Chops because it was number 85.
I'm going to set the record straight. That's all.
Who was the head coach of the New York Giants after Allie Sherman?
Oh.
Tough one.
And I will give you a hint. He was a former player for the same team.
Oh, I don't want to play the game with that guy. I don't know why I'm playing the game with that guy, for goodness sakes. I don't know. I have no idea.
Alex Webster.
Okay, give me another Giants one.
Who was the coach after Alex Webster?
I don't know the coaches. Ask me about the players.
The players?
Ask me about the players.
Okay, who is...
off the top of my head, Ron Johnson, number 20, fullback for the Giants.
For the Giants, very successful.
Quarterbacks for the Giants, Y.A. Tittle, Charlie Casserly, Charlie
Connolly.
Connolly, Fran Tarkenton.
Right.
Did Norm Snead play for the Giants?
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, you get extra credit for that.
Thought he did. They're all up here, folks. The facts are up here, right here. I'm your Rain Man, okay?
Right in the noggin. Right in the noodle. Right in here. Right in the pumpkin, right here.
Right in my computer. Right up here. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hi.
Took me a little bit by surprise.
All those facts are stored deeply in your melon.
Yes, they are.
Hey, listen, I was calling about
my overripe melon.
I was calling about these people that are sending you the faxes about the contest. I'm a sort of a professional Halloween contest guy. I go around.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, bravo.
He's a professional Halloween costume contestant.
We don't get many professionals that call this show.
My costume for the past 6 years has been a gigantic, and if people in D.C. that are also, there's a small group of us, like a little community, and they would know me as the giant squirting penis.
I'm sure that's how you're known, sir.
Yeah. But anyway.
You must be proud.
I go
something
around
to tell the grandkids, huh?
I go around the different cities at Halloween, and...
What, you try to win all the contests?
Yeah, they put up $1,000, sometimes they put up jet skis, sometimes they put up trips.
What's your total take? How much have you won over the years?
Oh, as of last year, over 6 years, probably about $8,500. But there's expenditures in there too. You got
sure. It costs a lot to maintain a giant penis. I should know that.
It does surprisingly.
Giant squirting penis.
It costs a lot for equipment and materials and repairs.
Yeah, let's not forget the expense of traveling to the different cities around the country.
Traveling. Once you get to these places,
loser.
You can't just stand around. You got to drink. You know, you got to have a bar tab.
Loser.
Let me ask you.
What?
What's your point?
My point.
I believe he's trying to be supportive of our position.
I am trying to be supportive of your position.
Well, I think, immediately you turn me off when you say you're a professional Halloween contest player.
Well, why? Why is
it turning
off?
It's a ridiculous concept.
Because the whole concept of these things are people make their homemade contests, and they go one time, and it's a one-shot deal, and they go out to have fun. And people that do it and try to, go around the system, it just kind of bugs me.
Well, yeah, but see, where they have the big prizes, I don't go to the local bars and take everybody.
God.
He doesn't slum where they're only giving $300. It's got to be something good like a jet ski, Mike.
It's got to be something good like a jet ski. And and that attracts the really good costumes. People come all the way from New York City, Georgia, to some of these places.
All right, well, let me ask you, as a professional contestant.
Yeah.
Would our trip to Mexico yesterday, was that a prize of a high enough quality to get the giant squirting penis, or would that be beneath you?
No. Could a trip to Mexico, that would be very cool.
There's no doubt in my mind that trip to Mexico is a hot item.
You guys have done a couple things over the years that I've considered breaking the penis suit out for, but never seemed to get around to it.
Too many other contests, too many other cities to drive to. Gotta go, contest costume in Sioux City!
No, but see, the whole nature of the thing is, I mean, I've walked away from... Yeah, normally it happens around a weekend. So
you've walked away from what? Tell me the riches you've walked away from.
I've walked away from these contests, with nothing, and I have lost to, it's all crowd response.
Like, yeah.
What, a guy could put a sandwich on his head.
Sure.
And walk in off the street, and the crowd can be drunk, and they can love it.
That's what it's about.
And I just spent over $600, getting there and creating this thing, and I'm out a big wad of cash.
So what's your point?
Walking away with a jet ski.
What's your point?
That these people have absolutely no right to complain because it is the nature of the beast.
Okay, good.
If you're gonna commit yourself to trying for something,
and you should be committed. You big giant squirting penis.
Yeah, we're aware that your blood, sweat, and tears and other fluids have, you know, have been put into this costume.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, man. You may think it's ridiculous, and you may mock me.
You know,
but
we do, and we will.
Yes. The money that I won one year was enough to put a down payment on my home. You know, I'm not that big of a fool. I'm not getting nothing.
Yeah, once again, as I said, you can tell the grandkids someday that, you know, you're sitting in the house that the giant penis built.
And that, incidentally, that is the prayer that we say every night at dinner at my house.
No, these people, they ought to quit being so uptight about it and realize that, you know, they had a lot to gain.
Yeah. Well, if you're a veteran of these contests, you know you get that everywhere you go, I'm sure.
Oh, so, if I let this get to me every year, man, I wouldn't...
Let me ask you. Last time you lost the contest that you thought you should have won,
mm-hmm.
who beat you out? What was the costume that beat out the giant squirting penis?
Good question.
The Wizard of Oz characters. I mean, how lame could you be? I mean, the Wizard of Oz, there's no creativity there. It's been done a million times. But the crowd loved them. I had one guy in a rented Cookie Monster suit beat me out one year.
Oh, that must have hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if yours is homemade.
It is homemade. It's a giant
penis suit.
That's terrific.
It's 7 feet.
7 feet. I think I saw this guy one time.
I bet you have. I bet you have, Mike.
Yeah, I saw this cotton picking guy on a dance floor. You can't miss that. Is it an apparatus that you put on top of your head?
It's a...
I think you might be getting this guy mixed up with the big condom guy.
Yeah, okay, that's the guy I'm talking about.
The guy
about,
that's
right.
Got the big, like, almost a, like a baby nipple on the top
yeah,
of his head.
And you can't miss him.
Yeah, the weight is suspended from my shoulders, and it's very, very heavy. And
now, listen, Betsy Ross, do you sew these things? Do you sew these things yourself?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Loser. Okay. All right. Thank you for supporting our position.
I call up to support you, and you call me a loser.
Hey, listen, but you can call anytime whenever you hear us solicit calls from the pros.
That would be me.
Okay.
That's with the capital P.
You're a professional.
Look it up. Look it up. All right. Thank you, giant squirting penis. Excuse me?
You have no respect for me.
Of course I don't. You're a giant squirting penis, and you make your living by going to towns and trying to win costume contests.
All right.
What have you done to earn my respect?
I've been listening for 6 years.
All right, God bless you.
You have my respect for that. You have great taste in radio shows. You have poor taste in everything else in your life. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where these people come from. I swear to God, I don't. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
The question I have is, the lady's making $91,000 a year. Is that what I heard on that thing?
Yep. Yes. Combined income.
Oh, but you can't afford a vacation with $91,000?
I was wondering the same thing when I heard that myself.
That's incredible.
Especially to Mexico. I mean, listen, no offense to Mexico, but how much does it cost to go to
Mexico?
What
are you saying, Charles?
Three kids.
Yeah, three kids.
Charlie Broyhill, always on the side of the working woman, Charlie Broyhill.
I have a couple kids, and I don't make $90,000, but we still manage to take a few vacations a year.
Where are you calling from, sir?
From Pasadena, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Right, well, then he's in the Washington area.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, no, it's tough. It's tough, but, you know, you
save your money.
Save your money and take a little vacay. Yeah.
Save your money. Do what that guy did. Build yourself a nice giant penis suit. Thank you for the call.
See ya.
All right, bye. See you around. Okay.
It's almost done, honey. It's almost done. It's our ticket out of here.
We'll be right back. The station with less BS.
Hello.
WJFK.
It's like an on-air mini massage. The Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, hi, we're back. A treat for you in the next hour. My brother Chicago Jim.
Yes.
The Earth Dog. Who,
I like that name for him, too.
Brought his 18-wheeler by. He's right now just having the time of his life smoking cigarettes and talking with Daryl Nichols.
I saw him during the break, and I said, how you doing? And his response to me was, that's it. Just laugh.
He's having a good time.
Yeah, he's having a blast.
We'll bring him in the next hour to dial for transvestites. A couple more phone calls coming up at 1-800-636-1067. Got some celebrity stuff to get to. Got to call Tori Spelling to wish her a happy birthday.
That's right, Aaron.
We have the Marge shot issue of Sports Illustrated.
Man, and you want to talk about suitable for framing.
A lovely picture of a lovely lady.
She is beautiful, and is that a little curl of smoke going up by her right ear?
Yes, it is. And I urge you, if you get Sports Illustrated like I do, because I'm so happening, because I wanted the football phone so bad.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Check out the, I believe it's her right finger, where you can actually see dirt and crud underneath the chewed-on fingernail.
Right.
This is the hand that is holding the cigarette, which she's proudly waving on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
I just wish, you know, a lot of women who wear those sweats are just trying to cover it all up, and I wish she'd wear something that just showed us the real Marge shot, if you know what I mean.
Here she is.
Everything you read, when he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He returned, you know, got all the... Factories going, everything. He was good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that he did was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
As we discussed before, at what point is it too much? You know, you kill a million Jews. Is that enough? What was it, 1,000,001? Did he go over the edge?
Yeah, but don't forget, Marge Schott says he was good at the beginning.
Yeah. Made some good roads, built some good highways, built the Autobahn. Hold on. Before we get into the Marge Schott article, the celebrity stuff, and your phone calls, let's call Jeff Barger back.
Okay.
In Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who, the latest guy to carry the Olympic torch and drop it and break it in a million pieces.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be the Dixons.
That's right, Dixon and Dixon.
We're going to see now if indeed he does take every media call by saying Don and Mike are gay.
We certainly hope so. He wrote it down, and he said he would do that. Of course, we're hoping for the biggies. Letterman, Leno,
ABC. Good Morning America, sure. Katie Couric, Joan London.
That's right.
Because you know somebody will call him. Some TV station will call him. Some major TV show will call this guy.
Sure.
All right, so we're the Dixons, right?
Yeah, you're Dixon.
I'm Dixon.
And I'm Dixon.
We're the Dixons.
Dixon and Dixon. In the boarding.
B-O-R-N-I-N-G. Oh, no, he's not going to pick up.
Maybe we exhausted him. Maybe our call was the last straw.
We said he had about 20 other DJs call him so far today.
Yeah, but none of those other DJs got him to say they are a gay. Rest assured. That didn't happen.
No, he's just not going to pick up now.
No, he might be down feeding Ricky.
That's right. No, it wasn't his horse, though. It was a friend's horse. He borrowed the horse.
Yeah, so there's the problem right there.
And incidentally, the guy blamed it on the horse. The guy blamed the whole thing on the horse. All right, one more ring. Nope.
Oh, what a shame.
Darn it. Man, we'll try him back again.
I bet if he was riding Marge Schott, that wouldn't have happened.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
I've got a who would you do?
All right, let's hear it.
Kathy Lee Gifford or Ellen DeGeneres?
Kathy Lee.
Yuck.
Kathy Lee, as much as I hate to admit it.
Yuck.
Kathy Lee's a woman.
Ellen DeGeneres isn't?
Well,
parts is parts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Dogs love cheese.
Huh?
Hello, I said hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
I was just calling. I heard all those calls earlier before you took your commercial break, and I just wanted to call you all and let you know that I don't think you're funny, and I don't like either one of you.
All right, go ahead.
There you
go.
Much better.
No, I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
All right.
Oh, no, you ruined it.
You got us.
Hello. Oh, rats.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I heard the Beaver Cleaver clip yesterday, and my friend missed it. She's in the car with me now. Could you play it again?
Oh, Don, can't we play that again?
Yes, we'll play it again. Everybody listen very carefully.
That's my new favorite.
About halfway through this tape, when Wally says, hello? When Wally says, it's working great... It sure does sound like Wally says something else.
That's right.
Here's Wally and Beaver Cleaver.
Hello, Linda. This is Mr. Ward Cleaver, father of Wally and Beaver Cleaver. About your party this afternoon, my son will be unable to attend. Huh? Oh, he come down with something.
I expected Wally.
Yeah. He come down with something unexpected. As his father, I don't think I should expose you and the other girls to his germs. Yes, the ones he come down with.
Now, it's kind of coming up real fast here. You got to listen carefully. Wally says it's working great.
Yes, and I until you pointed this out, I was never aware of what it sounded like.
Sounds like he's saying something else.
It's working great, Beaver. This Linda's really falling for it. Hello? My wife and I are very sorry he will not be in attendance. The doctor said he can't go.
Well, I stopped it. You got to hear it.
You got to hear it in sequence.
I stopped it right before he said it. Let it cycle through, and we'll play it again. Oh, you got it right here? All right. Hold on a second. Tape two?
Yep.
All right. Tape two. Let's hear it again. Let's see. Got it.
Great, Beaver. This Linda's really falling for it.
Okay.
This
and I, until you pointed this out, I was never aware of what it sounded like.
Sounds like he's saying something else.
Fucking great, Beaver. This Linda's really falling for it.
All right, cue it right back to that part, Charlie. Now, you listen to this. You tell me what you think Wally's saying.
Fucking great, Beaver. This Linda's really falling for it.
I guess we don't have to cycle through the whole tape again. I think you get the message. You know the old Beaver Cleaver.
Old Beaver.
You know the Beaver. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Bags.
There you go.
I don't know. We didn't get all of that.
Just somebody was giving us a compliment.
Uh-huh. Hey, we got a fax from Sacramento from the obituary column in the Sacramento Bee today. No. For the ghoul pool.
All right.
I have never heard of Magnolia Thunderpussy.
No, I haven't either, Don.
Here's the obituary with her picture.
Really? It's right there. Right there in the paper.
Magnolia Thunderpussy.
My God.
A San Francisco personality and restaurateur whose provocatively titled concoctions in the 1960s made her a legendary figure, died yesterday at Santa Cruz Hospital. She was 56. Miss Thunderpussy, who had diabetes and been declining health, died peacefully at Dominican Hospital, said her husband Alex, who was at her side. After changing her name at the height of the hippie craze,
yes,
Ms. Thunderpussy opened a restaurant in the valley, naming it after herself. She opened a second restaurant shortly in Hyde Ashbury. The eatery became famous for its all-night delivery service and for its dirty food, such as the banana split, billed as the Montana banana. Unsplit banana with ice cream.
Yeah.
You know what.
Sure.
Whipped cream and fresh fruit arranged provocatively.
Boy, I would love to dine there.
Let me see. Another friend said she was very caring, very loving. Ms. Thunderpussy was seriously injured in a motorcycle accident.
Well, she changed the name. You didn't.
She was seriously injured in a motorcycle accident, suffered a stroke. She's a hell of a survivor, and in addition to her husband, she's survived by her brother, Jim of San Francisco. Services are pending. For those of you on the West Coast, we had never heard of Magnolia Thunderpussy, so she does not count in the ghoul pool.
No, and I don't think anybody even picked her in the ghoul pool, and our sympathies to the family of Miss Thunderpussy.
Magnolia Thunderpussy died! It's working great! Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, is Charlie there?
Charlie Stuang-Stabilak or Charlie Broyhill?
Oh, my God.
That's another one of your girls, Charlie.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes?
Yeah, today's show, man, it's working great.
Thanks. Thanks for the thumbs up.
That's great. He said it's working great.
appreciate the input.
That's right. Working great.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
People are catching on, Don.
Hello.
Yes, can I talk to Don and Mike?
You're talking to us right now.
Hi, I'm trying to get an answer to a question which you have to know the answer to.
The answer is Magnolia Thunderpussy. Who is Magnolia Thunderpussy?
Don't we all ask that question every day?
Alex, I'll take Thunderpussy for $100.
A series of wonderful restaurants with great food items. Who is Magnolia Thunderpussy? Oh, thank you, Alex. I'll go to the Daily Double now.
Hey, where's our Alex Trebek tape? Let's hear that. It's been a time while since we heard that. Hey, hi, what can we do for you?
Yeah, the question is about Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
And that is, what is in the briefcase?
Magnolia Thunderpussy.
That's who's in the briefcase.
That's who's in there.
Didn't we have a big discussion about this?
Yes. Yeah,
it was. And I forgot. There was something really interesting about it.
Somebody said it was like somebody's soul, right, that somebody had sold their soul to the devil.
Yeah, I heard that it's Marcellus's soul.
And that's why Marcellus has the Band-Aid on the back
that's
of his neck.
That's where the devil took his soul out.
Right, and which is why if you ever watch Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, you'll notice that Kathy Lee has a Band-Aid on her back.
Fresh one every day, and she can't cover it up with those, those Garanimal Band-Aids that she puts back there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, what has three teeth and an IQ of 50?
Front row of a Willie Nelson concert.
No, Jeff Foxworthy. I just changed it.
Yeah, I guess to update it, you could make it the front row of a Jeff Foxworthy concert.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, it's Shelley the Plumber.
Hey, Shelley the Plumber.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. She helped me with some clogged pipes I had one time.
Did she really? Did she do a good job?
She's the quicker picker-upper.
Did she use the snake?
Did she? Did she?
Huh?
You're soaking in it.
Yeah, we're soaking in it.
Yes, hello.
Well, we just wanted to say hi. We've missed you, and it's been a while since I've been able to listen to you.
Shelly, did you by chance hear about Magnolia Thunder Pussy?
Yes, I've just heard about Magnolia
Thunder. We're all very upset.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
And surprise, surprise, we can't find our Alex Trebek tape. Well, you know the motto of the show. We'll have it for you in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, no problem at all.
Thank you for the call, and you're the last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey, can I speak to Don and Mike?
You're speaking to us now.
No way. Hey, how you doing? This is Skid Mark.
Come on.
Come on, you can do better. Is that it?
I don't know. I got more. I got more.
No. I mean, if that's the start, we don't want to hear more.
I got more.
Any other reason for your call?
Eh?
Eh? Hello, Don and Mike Show. Eh?
Eh? Stupid.
Hello?
Eh?
Don and Mike. Oops. Now, look what you've done.
You know, you can't blame everybody, though, when they're in mourning.
Hey, Don.
We're all pretty upset about Magnolia Thunder Pussy.
Please, you know, and we, if we haven't done it so far, send our sympathies out to all the Thunder Pussies.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a question about, I wanted to ask Harry yesterday, who would you rather do, Marge Schott or John Tesh?
Are you Harry Morgan?
Yeah.
Harry Morgan would kill or die to do John Tesh.
That's what I think, too.
Harry Absolutely. Morgan's a gay. Okay.
But his number one guy is Rob Bay. And Scott the Dwarf now.
Thank you.
They had a great time last night.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Well, did they go to
they went to the Chinese restaurant.
And ate with one fork?
Yeah, the Mugu Gai Pan. That's right. He likes to feed Rabe.
Thunder Pussy, that is, of course, the sequel to Braveheart. Braveheart, Thunder Pussy. She will be missed. Oh, now that I'm ready to break, we found the Alex Trebek tape.
Ah, there it is.
I'll take Alex Trebek for 100, please.
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch. You don't watch it 24 hours a day.
Let me warn you, this is a side of Alex Trebek that I am sure, if you're hearing this tape for the first time, you did not know existed.
And our apologies to loyal Jeopardy fans.
Hi, I'm Alex Trebek, and
son of a bitch.
Huh? Wait a minute. Run that by me again. I don't understand it. I didn't pause.
I'd like to point out that while Alex is doing these commercials for Phone Jeopardy,
right,
he has a can of beer in his hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you seen the video?
I've never seen the video.
You got to see the video that goes with, because the facial expressions are what really make this tape. And the fact that he's got a beer can, and at one point, he's actually tapping his finger
on
the
beer?
Top of the, when he says, "Let's get chopping." That's what he's hitting, is his beer can.
Well, I can tell by the tape he's a people person.
All right, let's start cutting.
See? Could you tell he just took a sip of beer there?
Oh,
all
sure.
Right, let's get cutting. Here he is.
Any cash prize of $1,000 and $5.
Oh, my.
Oh, Alex.
Mr. Trebek.
Oh, son of a bitch. Somebody going to tell me why? Here's a little hint. Pick up, take 20, one.
$25,000.
You know,
now the beer, now that you tell me the beer can, which I have never heard before, It makes me listen to this tape in a whole different way. I think that maybe that was one of the reasons.
It's been such a long time since we've heard this tape.
Mm-hmm.
If you go months and months and don't hear it, it's like hearing it for the first time.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm like everybody. I watch Jeopardy. You watch Alex Trebek. And can't picture Alex Trebek acting this way.
He's so dignified with his crisp suits and his white collars.
All on the same tape. How are they going to lose it? $25,000, $50,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, dollars. Well, I'm not quite ready, so I'm going to do it now. Dollars. It's for you. No shit.
Oops.
Call now and play Phone Jeopardy. You.
Oh, my.
You.
Oh, my.
You.
Oh.
You. And them, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's the real Alex Trebek.
Wow.
We got a break, and we'll be back with Buzz and News and my brother Jim, Chicago Jim.
Yeah.
Dialing for transvestites in the next hour, and also an interview with America's Pickle Queen. It's a good one today. We'll be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
I could have told you that, Buzz.
Why, it's maybe not the sport for the old or unfit.
Maybe my brother would like the job as producer.
The first story is from the American Physical Therapy Association, which says a lot of baby boomers are throwing out their backs on the golf course now that spring has arrived. After 6 months behind a desk, golfers between the ages of 35 and 50...
I'll be back in a jiffy, Buzz.
Thank you. Golfers between the ages of 35 and 50 have come out swinging, And without the right exercises or stretching, pulls and strains are likely to follow in the arms, legs, and back. The therapists say they'd just like to remind the over 35 golfers they are not 25 anymore.
Roger, Buzz!
There are other hazards on the golf course these days, and we're not talking about sand or water. We're talking about the 16th hole at the Shelby Park Public Golf Course in Nashville, Tennessee.
And that's not all, Buzz.
That's right. Well, there's a railroad track along that hole, and the weeds grow tall there. So do the young men who've been springing out of the weeds to rob people at gunpoint.
Thanks, Buzz!
Wow. After 30 years of tranquility, there have been two successful robberies and one unsuccessful attempt just in the past couple of weeks. My advice? Walk softly and carry a 9-iron.
All right, wise guy!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I guess that winds that up. Well, right, Buzz?
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Buzz!
You're welcome.
Steve, you don't even need us anymore. You can just talk to him. We'll be right back.
Radio God.
Jim.
Who is she?
That's my guy. She's the owner of the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh,
the woman who recently said that Hitler wasn't such a bad guy.
Oh, don't hear anything about it.
All right, put your headphones on.
You're spending too much time on the road. You don't get a chance to hear this.
Listen to this tape and comment, please. She's talking about Adolf Hitler.
Everything you read, when he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He returned, you know, got all the factories going, everything. He was good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried to kill him, didn't they? Everybody in history knows that he did was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
Now, why is that a bad thing to say? come on now, let's get into some intellectual debate here. Why is that a bad stance to take on Adolf Hitler?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know all exactly what he did, except, you know, the bad things.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
thank you, Jim.
I have no feeling on it either way.
Okay, thanks a lot. Listen, thanks for your statement.
For the future, if anybody asks you, it's pretty good. You're pretty safe if you say Hitler was a bad guy, and everything that Hitler was associated with.
Hitler was bad when he was born.
Okay.
Yes.
There okay.
You
go.
So if we ever ask you again, that's the answer
to
give.
Bad when he was born. You know, not the type of issue you want to sit on the fence with.
Right. Hitler equals bad.
Okay.
Okay. Hey,
look at him seriously. Look at us. Okay.
He's bad.
You got it.
Bad to the bone. Bad.
You like George Thorogood, don't you, Jim?
Yeah.
Don't know who Marge Schott is. Don't have a stance on Adolf Hitler, but you do know who George Thorogood is.
Yeah.
All right, now here's the part about Marge Schott being cheap.
All right.
During the 1994 baseball strike, Marge Schott stopped having the Reds' office bathrooms professionally cleaned. So employees had to clean the bathrooms themselves.
Oh, God.
She has been known to rummage through trash barrels to make sure that scrap paper is written on both sides before it's thrown away.
Wow.
She eliminated free tissues for employees who wanted to blow their nose. She keeps the lights off whenever possible,
sure,
extinguishing them when you leave your office just to walk down the hall. The hallway carpeting is so old and tattered that the seams are held together with duct tape. She has the heat turned down to 55 degrees at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so some employees have been known to bring in their own space heaters. She does this not only at the Cincinnati Reds, but at every place she owns.
Wow.
No wonder the male employees of Marge Schott's occasionally ask her to sign a publicity photo for a niece. Then they take the photo into the men's room, place it in the urinal, and fire away.
Oh, man!
That's just... some of the Marge Schott article from the New Sports Illustrated.
She sounds like a special lady.
She sure is. Now, listen, you're going to be dining for transvestites
it's
here, John.
It's time for dining for transvestites with Robin.
Now, we'll explain it to you in a minute.
As his alter ego of Dolores, messing with the minds of both sex guys. Lots of fun with Don and Mike and all round eyes.
I can't believe that you didn't have a more strong statement on Hitler.
He's a bad person.
Very good.
There you go, Jim.
Very good.
Thank Hitler you very equals much. Bad.
There you go. He learns his lessons quickly.
Perfect.
Those controversial statements made on this show.
You really don't know about all the bad things Hitler did?
Not all the bad things. Some of them, you know.
Based on your high school education.
Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's move
anyway.
On.
Anyway.
Shall we?
All right. Okay. All right.
Find it interesting.
I know. I know.
He's not saying anything bad. He simply doesn't know a lot about.
No, he's not saying anything bad at all.
Simply doesn't know a lot about. Something that, you know, somebody who just rolled off the truck would know about, that's all.
That's right.
Don't talk bad about truck drivers now.
Listen, talking bad about truck drivers.
He was talking to Cannon out in the hallway a moment ago, though, and about NASCAR, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
What do you know about? You don't know anything about Adolf Hitler. What do you know about Dale Earnhardt, though?
won 7 championships. He's a good driver.
Do you think stock car drivers are athletes?
They got to be in condition. Yeah, I'd say so.
Why do you have to be in condition to drive a stock car?
Man, you know, you're all cramped up in that car driving 500 miles at 200 miles an hour.
Got to have the reflexes.
Yeah, reflexes. That's it.
How many Jews has Richard Petty killed?
None.
That's right.
Way to go.
That's right. That's the right answer.
Excellent job. Right. I mean, you shook your brother up with that statement before. You didn't take a strong enough stand is what the case is.
Right. If someone says Hitler, you just immediately... Bad.
Okay.
I think the whole issue you see, Jim, with Marge Schott was that she didn't make a strong enough statement.
And Hitler was okay in the beginning, yeah, that he went crazy at the end.
And that's kind of a BS statement, because what he did, it's just there's no gray area. You just come out and you don't pussyfoot around it. You make the statement, right, and Marge Schott didn't.
Okay, listen, we're trying to be serious with you here.
Okay.
That's why she's in trouble now, and she's made statements about every other ethnic group as well.
So listen, here we are. Don't you ever give an article to a newspaper or anything, okay?
No,
if anybody ever wants to interview you, you just never say anything.
Oh, okay.
Okay, gotcha.
Got it.
Good.
All right, good.
We're all set now, and are we going to explain dialing for transvestites to Jim?
Yes, as we head from one dicey subject to the next.
Yes, as we squirm uncomfortably in our seats.
This is something that Rob A. started to do, that I had Rob A. do, and now we have everybody do it. Everybody's done it. Buzz has done it, Mike's done it, and I've done it. Everybody has dialed for transvestites.
I have his name.
What is his name?
Jenny.
Oh. Now, when we call, we're going to call one of these 1-900 numbers, and we're going to get a phone hoe. Okay. Now, after I say it's the Don and Mike show, you're on the air, it is your job to be a transvestite, and your name is Jenny.
Jenny.
And you have to tell her that you are a transvestite and you enjoy dressing in women's clothes.
Then you maybe want to describe a made-up outfit that you're wearing to her, and usually they take it from there.
Now, this is kind of where you got to ad lib, so if you were a woman, what type of outfit would you be wearing?
Oh, I don't know. I'd probably go like the Lola look.
Okay,
with the 70s hot pants.
Okay, all right.
High heels.
Excellent, he's speaking.
High heels and
you've got the spirit,
stockings.
You've got the spirit of the game. You know how it's going to work. It's easy. And everybody, and this is a game for amateurs as well.
It's
as
a rite of passage on this show.
That's right. Rob Bay is a professional.
Hi, you reached the hottest girls in the nation. Don't go away.
We have to get past this part. They'll tell us how much it costs now.
Sizzling hot live girls who want to talk wild with you. This service is provided.
I called the horny line.
Satellite communications, and it's
excellent.
Only $3.98 per minute.
$3.98 per minute.
You must be over 18. Billing begins in 3 seconds after the tone.
Since Ken is paying, double bill us.
Now.
Heck, triple bill us.
There you are. There's the tone.
Now.
We're on the clock.
Please hold while we transfer your call.
Now remember, you got to let me say, Don and Mike show, you're on the air. Then you're on your own. Mike and I will have the microphones turned to a position where the girl on the phone won't be able to hear us.
That's right. And what you ask you,
I'll be able to hear you, though.
Don and Mike show, you're on the air.
Is anybody there?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
You're Jenny. What? You're Jenny.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Jenny.
Jenny? Yeah. Where are you calling from, Jenny?
Washington, D.C.
So what are you up to today?
Oh, just... kind of horny wanting to talk to you.
Okay, come on. Don't make this like one of your real calls. Tell her you're a transvestite.
What are you wearing right now, Jenny?
I'm wearing some hot pants, a lacy bra, and fishnet stockings.
Really?
Very good. And I'm wearing red high heels.
Very good.
Ooh, how many inches?
I think they're about 3.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Cindy. I'm 5'7". I have black hair, and it's kind of...
Something is with my brother, it's going to be more like him really calling a phone sex line. You don't want to ask her questions like about what she looks like. Tell her now, shut up. Say, shut up. I don't care what you look like.
Okay, shut up. I don't care what you look like.
Tell her you're a bad girl.
Yeah, you're a bad girl.
No, tell her you're a bad girl.
Shut up.
Huh?
Why are you going to tell me to shut up?
So you want to be dominated.
Because I want to be dominated.
You want to be dominated, or you want to be dominant?
I want to be dominated.
Really?
Tell her to call you a bad girl.
Tell me to shut up?
Yeah, but I want you to call me a bad girl.
Oh, I see. Do you have any toys for me today?
Toys?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful here,
Jim. You got some Play-Doh.
Yeah, I got some Play-Doh.
You have Play-Doh?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with the Play-Doh?
Tell her you want to call her mommy.
I want to call you mommy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we don't do that on this line.
Beg her to insult you.
Well, can you insult me?
I'm sorry?
Can you insult me,
please? Can I insult you?
Yeah.
Please.
What's that?
I said, are you serious?
I'm serious.
Please insult
really?
Me.
Please insult me.
Please insult you, huh?
Yeah.
Why would you want for me to do that?
Call your names.
Call me names.
I told her to tell you you're a bad girl.
Tell me I'm a bad girl.
Insult me, you moron.
Oh.
Don't be polite. This is not like one of your regular girls you're calling. You could be rude to her.
Yeah, insult me, you moron.
What?
I said insult me, you moron.
Call her a damn dummy like our dad used to call you.
Oh, I think you have the wrong number.
No, I don't think I do.
You damn dummy.
You damn dummy.
What?
I don't think I have the wrong number, you damn dummy.
You do. I think you do. I think you're trying to play around.
No, I'm not stupid.
No, I'm not, no, I'm not stupid.
Goodbye.
Oh, no. Give that a round of applause. That is a nasty twist that we have not had before.
That's terrific. Driving a phone hole off the phone. Very difficult to do.
Now, keep
extra
in mind.
Credit.
Is that
it
okay?
It is her job to keep you on the phone as long
sure.
as possible.
The fact that that's terrific. You couldn't have done any better.
You came through with flying colors.
That's
you know?
Fantastic.
Hey, will all of the other Dialing for Transvestite fraternity members come in and welcome my brother to the club?
Come on now. Come on. Everybody that's dialed for transvestites.
Come on in. We'll welcome Jim to the club.
Let's welcome Jim, who is successful. It's
for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, that nobody can deny, that nobody can deny, that nobody can deny, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow. That nobody can deny. Ba-bum.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh, way to go, Jim.
Now get out. Now go get your truck and go to my house, okay? Touch anything, don't break anything.
Can I play with your TV?
No, don't turn the TV on. Not allowed. Seriously.
Can I do some laundry?
He needs to do laundry. I'll stop. Just gave me the look from hell.
Just don't touch anything
until
I get
just
home.
Just go sit there at the kitchen table and just sit there.
Just sit
you get
there.
Home.
Sit folded. There and look at the birds.
Hands folded.
Yeah. Don't touch anything. Don't do anything.
Okay.
Okay. Treat the dogs nice. I'll be there as soon as I can. And I'll get you food tonight. I'll get Japanese food.
All right.
Okay.
See you later, right. Jim. Thanks Bye. For coming by.
Hey, there he is, the Earth Dog. Okay, get out of here now.
Thanks for letting me drive your truck.
Bye.
So long, Jim. See you later.
There goes my brother, Jim.
I'm the high commander. I know what's best for everything.
He is the high commander.
You know what I mean. And I felt like the friend of your brother's who's, like, making him misbehave, so I will stop that. He did a great job. Hey,
yeah.
One of the finest segments of Dialing for Transvestites I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. We'll be right back.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
M-I-W-J-F-K.
El Comico Show in El Radio. No Peligrosa. Donaldo y Miguel.
Now this is nice. Van Halen from the movie Twister.
I like this.
I got a story about Twister coming up. A couple of lines on hold. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hear me?
Hello, I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, hi, Don.
Yes.
This is an unpopular question. It goes back to your question. I know Hitler, bad man.
Yes.
Okay, but objectively speaking, I grew up Jewish. I'm Jewish. And 6 million people dead, the whole story, I don't want to belabor that. But there were a lot of great events that came from this maniacal madman. And I agree what Marge Schott said is not popular.
Don't you think when an individual is capable of doing something...
And
like,
he killed
like
more
Hitler
than 6 million Jews.
He killed.
No, I realize,
and he didn't kill. You know, he didn't just kill Jews. He killed lots of people.
He
and
killed Paul.
He murdered people. And don't you think that someone who does something like that they are bad from the beginning? That there is that you cannot measure anything good that they did in their lives because the evil was so substantial that it wipes that out.
Read his book. He's.
I can agree with that.
He's thought about killing people his whole life.
Don, I can agree with that 100%.
Then what's the problem?
Theoretically, objectively speaking,
you can't be objective about Hitler. Hitler's an a-hole.
Agreed.
Okay, then.
But just for some reason, the things that came out of it, the A-bomb, the technology, and everything else.
Oh, the A-bomb, yeah, there's something terrific that came out of it, the atomic bomb. I mean, come on, give me a break. That's not anything that was good for mankind.
Listen, I can't believe that anybody would take the stance that Hitler was good, besides
Marge Schott. I didn't say he was good. I do not agree that...
Then why don't you just blanketly say that Hitler was bad?
Because I don't believe you can objectively say that about all the accomplishments.
What? Okay, tell me what. Tell me what accomplishments Adolf Hitler had. Tell me what he did that was good.
He unified a country that was so decimated after World War One.
And how did he unify that country? He unified them.
One person in a bad way.
He unified his country by getting everybody to hate everybody else. That's how he unified.
100% agreed with you, Don.
Hatred is a terrific unifier, and that's what he did. You can't even. The argument is so. You know what I don't like about the argument you make, and the argument maybe that Marge Schott would make. It is so totally detached, and it is so looking the other way, and it's so objective. And you know something? That is an insult to the memory of 6 million people that died, and everybody. Else that died during World War II.
I wasn't trying to insult the memory of 6 million people.
Well, you
really
did. As far as I'm concerned, you do. When you try to make the case that what Marge Schott said is okay.
I wasn't trying to make the case. I was really asking just in a theory question.
Yeah,
you.
And I don't even like it put
but
in theory.
But it's not something that's open for debate for theory. You just got to say, listen, man, Hitler was bad.
All right, I can handle that.
We have a little museum here in Washington, D.C., the Holocaust Museum, and if you want to know about the theory of it, go down and just take a stroll through that Okay, is there anything, do you think about theory when you come walking out of that museum?
Yeah.
Jeez, well,
have you ever been to the one in Jerusalem?
No, I've never been to
I've
Israel.
I've been to the one in Jerusalem.
All right, I can top that. And I can.
I
can top that.
The whole thought of what happened is disgusting. All the pictures are disgusting. I just.
You know what it is? How old are you? Listen, how old are you?
32.
Here's the problem. You're so young, and I'm going to say this, you only being 5 or 6 years older than you. You're so young, you're so detached, you have no idea what it was like. This is all just something that was in ancient history to you. It's easy to say, millions of people killed, Auschwitz, Hitler killed, so he did some good things. The thing is, it happened so long ago, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea. We live in a world now where we don't have anything like Hitler. There's nothing we can compare it to. He's the biggest madman of all time.
I'll agree with you again. Again, I'm not... arguing against what you're saying.
Well, then why are you calling?
I'm just calling to ask you a question.
What was the question?
Is it possible to objectively break down what he did?
No.
Good and bad.
No.
That's an easy question to answer. Absolutely, unequivocally not.
Listen, just like I told my brother, Hitler is bad.
Okay.
And you know something?
I wasn't trying to argue with you, Don.
You know, also, when you measure her comments next to other comments she's made, then you get a clearer picture of the insensitivity of the woman, and I think that's why she's in trouble. She's made other statements like that, and she's either so insensitive that she doesn't know what's going on, or she's a complete idiot. And either one, I don't think she should be running a baseball team.
Okay, you're the only news source I've had for Marge Schott.
You need to get out, then.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't get out to read the paper and listen to anything else but your show all day long.
Well, then if that's the only source of information you have, then you should see everything our way.
If we
are your only source of information, you should not have called in the first place, because if you believe in Hitler, then you should
believe in the fact that
we have one view on this show. Hitler was bad.
Okay.
Agree with me or do not agree with me.
I agree with you.
Goodbye
Hitler
forever.
I apologize.
Goodbye forever.
I'll never call this show again.
I don't think Hitler and objective, those are two words you can't use in the same
sense.
No way, and you know that. You know that better than anybody else.
I kind of knew that, but I kind of called to just... feel it out.
Well, you know, the next time you're at a family reunion, why don't you bring up your little theory and see how it goes.
Family's very much against that little theory.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think most families would be against that.
All right.
Thanks for your time. Have a lovely day.
Thank you for getting our dander up.
Goodbye. Didn't mean to, Don.
It was Mike who said that for the 1,000th time. I hate it when we have to take the right side of an argument and beat somebody's head into the ground with it.
Yeah, and I think what you said is absolutely true, and that's why when you get talking about it and you think about people that say, can you look at it objectively? And we have we not had a number of calls, in fact, a large number of calls, that with people that say, hey... you know, give the lady a break. When the lady's in a position where she's got the public forum, she's got to be responsible about what she says.
Hello? This would not be another call about Hitler being good, I hope. Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike show.
Yes, go ahead.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. I can't wait forever. Turn down your radio. Hang up your radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Don, this is Susan from Reno.
Hi, Sue.
How are you?
Oh, great.
You guys did great on those. We're behind you 100%. We see you guys every time you come to Reno.
On what? What are you behind us on?
And we got autographed pictures of you, and we took our own pictures of you.
What are you talking about?
We just wanted to know when you were going to be in Reno.
Hey.
What are you behind us on? Let's figure that out. Hitler?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Exactly.
Good. Hitler's bad, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a controversial position we take here on this show.
She stinks, and I'm from Cincinnati.
Gotcha.
Oh, she's terrible. I basically just called to say Jim did a great job and wants to know when you guys are going to be in Reno next.
Don't know. No, we're going to be in Wichita next month. That's all I know for now.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, everything's a blur.
Work. And Mike, you're the greatest impressionist we ever heard.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have to kind of wind it down when we
one
get
guy got us real wound up.
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. Now we got to come back down.
Deep breaths into a paper bag.
Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. Today is Thursday, the 16th of May. Birthdays today, Margaret Ray. You know who she is?
No, I don't.
She is the fabulous babe who gave us the Curious George books.
Oh, well, bless her heart.
Also today, Pierce Brosnan, Olga Corbett. Ooh, sweet.
Pretty.
Janet Jackson, Janet Jackson, Tracy Gold, and Aaron Spelling's daughter, Tori Spelling.
Wonderful, Tori.
This is your daddy, Aaron Spelling.
I'm from Texas, and I have a New York accent.
Happy birthday, darling. You heard the most watched TV programs from last week.
Cake and ice cream for you at the Lombard Bungalow.
Yeah, the top 10 shows last week. Home Improvement, NYPD Blue, Monday Night Movie on NBC, then Roseanne, Single Guy, A Few Good Men, Caroline in the City, Friends, Seinfeld, and ER. Wait, where's Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Third Rock from the Sun got beaten by Roseanne and also got beaten in the ratings by the Tornado Show that they had on Fox.
Uh-huh.
And if you were like me, I'm sure you were disappointed last night when you watched Grace Under Fire. Here's the thing with Grace Under Fire. It's supposed to be a sitcom, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am tired of Grace... Brett Butler, I almost called her Grace Kelly. I'm tired of her working out her real-life personal problems on this show.
Roseanne, kind of taking a cue from Roseanne.